Mexico, Canada, the States.
Before I read the scriptures, everybody does what you're just doing now. You've been sitting for a while. Just stretch your legs. I'd like to turn to John chapter 20, just half a dozen verses. Verse 19 to 25. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the door was locked for fear of the Jews. It was church time. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, the marks of the cross. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You may be seated. Here we are, and we're living in a new kind of time and era and scenario. The big argument is, will people go back to work? Are they going to do 4 days and get paid for five and all that kind of stuff? But going to work is like a kind of priority or whatever you want to call it. Whether it's wet or like it was yesterday or sunny or whatever, whether it's cold like it might well be, there are things you have to do. It's what makes the world go round. And I want to tell you, this is special. Church is special. Sunday is special. And if you want the church to go round, then this is what we're about. What makes the church special? Can I suggest just two things? The person you meet and the things that happen to you. Because when we come here, the person we meet, where two or three are gathered in my name, says Jesus, that's where I am. I am there with them. There are lots of things we do together as church. We share one another's joys. We share one another's sorrows. But this is the first, this is the foremost thing. It's what makes every service unique and wonderful and helpful. It's not the preacher. It's not the crowd of people. It's not the attractiveness of the building. It's not the style of worship. It's the fact that you can meet Jesus here. He's the person in our midst. And if you really want to know whether God cares about us, whether his love will take us on board no matter who we are or what we have done, then you have to look at that rough, tough, splintered cross on a hill called Calvary, because that's where you'll see God dying, stabbed, bleeding from the nail spikes, driven into his hands and feet, covered in spit, with a thorn crown on his head. And you realize that's how much God loves you. And he'll be here every Sunday morning. And you can stake your future on him. And there's no way of measuring his limitless love. There's no barrier that can ever prevent Jesus from pouring out his blessings. He forgives and he forgets. He restores and he rebuilds our lives. He loves us and he lifts us into a new relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus is one of a kind. He is so unique. There's no one else like him. So the biggest question of all is, have you let him find you? And you find him here. He's here every single week. He never misses a week. And he gives purpose to our lives when they seem like they're going nowhere, they're aimless. And here I am groping in the dark, and he'll give me light and understanding. Here I am, tired, weary, and he'll give me strength. And I say it again and again to people who feel helpless and hopeless. He'll give you power. He'll give you strength. He'll give you blessing. Why? Because Jesus cares. His grace is limitless. It's sufficient for every need. And he won't miss because he's indestructible. Death couldn't conquer him. And he's irresistible. And I even think, too, he's inescapable. You have to meet him and face up to his challenge. And I've discovered, and all down through the history of the church, not just this place, but of the church, there's no way of living, truly living, without him. He's the person who's here every single week. And every time we can get together. And if that doesn't make you feel excited, it should. It should. But what is the other bit to this? If he's here, what will he do? What's going to happen? Well, can I suggest 5 blessings we can receive? You can come to church and you can miss them because you're going to be so preoccupied with other things. Or you can stay away. I spent 62 years as a pastor. So I've heard all the reasons why people stay away. Because they're hurting. Or they're troubled. Or they've had some devastating news about a situation in the family. Or the death, or the pending death of a member of the family. And there's 1,001 things. But when you come here, I'm not here to tell you philosophy. I'm not here to tell you good stories. I came to tell you that in this place every week, God wants to say something to you. There's the comfort of his word. Do you listen to what he said? He said, peace. When that little church was meeting in that upper room, the first thing he said to them, I got something to say to you. Peace be to you. He repeated it again. And when we meet, Jesus has got something to say to us. In the week, I hear all kinds of voices. All of them clamor for my attention, and they do for yours. They make demands. They disturb you. I want to switch off the news every night when they're telling me about the pandemic figures and how many. I don't want to keep hearing the negative. I don't want to keep hearing those voices that are angry, so they're impeding people going about their business. Voices that are vicious, voices that are soul destroying, voices that put pressure on me from whichever side the political strata you care to talk. So many, many different things. And I hear them. I hear them all the week. And when I come here, when I come here, I will listen, says the psalmist, to what God the Lord will say, because he promises peace to his people. Remember little Samuel saying, I'm listening, I'm listening. And you know what? There will be something in the song we sing, in a scripture we read, in a statement that I make, in something that happens here. He'll encourage you. He'll give you a promise to inspire you. It'll be a challenge to set before you. It'll be a word that will create hope in you. It'll be a word just for you. Just for you. Here's the second thing. you will discover blessing number two is the assurance of his love. He showed them his hands and his side. What had taken place at the cross. He's saying, come on, have a look. And they were, in effect, a declaration of his love. Abandoned on the cross, the sky closed its eyes. The earth shook at that moment when he shouted, it was finished. It really was finished. Sin was dealt with. Satan was defeated. Hell was subdued. And here he is standing in this room with them in this little church. And death has been defeated. It's resurrection day. He's alive forevermore. Can I tell you something? Listen to me, please. Every time you come in this place, every time you are here, you can experience exactly that. Maybe the song, maybe the words of a prayer, maybe the text that the preacher uses, maybe the symbols of a communion laid on the table. It will be just like, he's saying, see my hands, see my side, see my feet. I love you. Here's number three, the gift of his peace. He's already said it once, but this is an oriental form of greeting. It's got something of tremendous significance. How do I know that? Well, Paul says we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? My peace I give to you. What does Ephesians say? He is our peace. Life can be unbearable at times. For a variety of reasons. There may be physical pain. There may be difficult decisions. There may be financial hardship. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be that our dreams and our hopes lie shattered, so we are overwhelmed by our troubles. Peter told folk in his letter, cast all your care on him. It's blepo in the Greek text. Hurl it, throw it, cast it. All those old pain, old hurts, old scars from yesterday's happenings. The things that are draining away our energy and our power. Throw them away. You do it here. Come in with them and go home without them. And what was the fourth thing that came out of being in church that day? Oh, the assurance of his love, the gift of his peace, but his purposes. He got a plan for their lives. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I want you to be out there. You're not going to live here. I want you to be where the world is. Where the world is at large, because I want you to be out there so you can help men and women, boys and girls, find a better way of living than the crazy, crazy lifestyles we're seeing now. As the Father has sent me, so I'm going to send you. You won't stay here 7 days a week. You will go home at noon to go about your week. And who will have sent you there? The one who's the Master and Lord of our lives. A couple of years ago, I don't know whether you can remember this, it was the US Airways flight 1549, taking off from New York City. It struck that flock of geese, if you remember, and both the engines were disabled. And it went into a powerless glide. And the captain guided it over the New York metropolis and so on, then announced, brace yourselves. And within the next 90 seconds, he landed on the Hudson River. Well, boats, ferries, and they all came. The 155 people on board were rescued. The captain and the crew were praised and all that. And one grateful passenger said this: "We have a second chance in life." I've never forgotten it, because I've come to see that God is the God of the second chance. It's possible to find new life. We have the opportunity to share with others what we've learned about Jesus. I meant to go in the hall and pick up a green book that we used to use, Youth Praise it's called. And in it there's a song, "Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me." What am I saying to you? You get fired up here. This is where you get ready to go for God. Ready to face the week, no matter what it might bring to you and for you. Is that all? No, there was one more thing. One more. Blessing number 5 was this: the power to go and live the way they should. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It would be impossible to do the things we've mentioned in our own strength. So Jesus simply says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I'm saying it to you again this morning. It's not just the Pentecost Sunday moment. It's every moment. It's what changed the church world and made it different to the secular world. And we're the same again. So the person you meet and the things that happen here, which none other, this is why I want you to be back in church. Because every week, Jesus will be here to touch your life, to enable you to be the person he wants you to be. You'll get a word from him. You'll be assured of his love. You will know his peace. He'll have a plan and a purpose for our church and for your life individually. But best of all, we'll have the power to go out there and make a difference. So simple. So profound, so special. We're going to have some coffee, tea, or whatever you like as a drink, refreshment. We'd love for you to come and share with us there. I want to put a blessing on you. And I sat down in the middle of this week to really think about this. How can I bless you as you go from the service? I'm going to make one or two comments in a moment. I want to put a blessing on you because you were here this morning. A blessing that comes from the Lord Jesus, who was here before all of us, who has offered all these gifts and blessings to us. Would you like to bow your heads? May God's plan, all his plans for your life, become a blessing to you. May you be blessed when you go in and when you go out. May you be blessed in your marriage. May you be blessed with your children. May you be blessed in your workplace. May you be blessed in your home. May you be blessed in your neighborhood where you live. May God this week make you a blessing wherever you go and in whatever you do, so that you will be a peace bringer, a joy bringer, a life challenger, and one who exudes the beauty, the grace, and the wonder, and the love of Jesus himself. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. And may the Lord go with you and make you a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.